This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. Hope it's going well. John Lopez, I'm Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. I've been rewatching the 2024 Texans season, gearing up for training camp, which, it'll start in earnest on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Tuesday is when the players are reporting, and we'll be off to the races on seeing what the team is ready to do for the 2025 football season, a team that there's a lot of high hopes for, not just here in the city of Houston, but amongst the league. There's people that are viewing this team very highly and rightfully so. And I talk about all that heights because one of the points that made it so that same feeling that we had last year, or similar feeling that we had last year, I think one of the points that really broke me personally on that was this game in particular that I rewatched yesterday, which was on Halloween. Mm-hmm. Versus the New York Jets there at the Meadowlands. And I wanted to ask you in particular what you remembered for this game before we get into what I wrote down and what I saw.
Well, very much what you just said, kind of slapping your forehead just in general with everything that was transpiring. But also Garrett Wilson, terrific catch to seal it. But I'm interested how you go through the game itself and what transpired and what we can maybe use to kind of look toward 2025.
Yeah, and I will begin by reminding you that this was a team, the New York Jets came in 2-6 into mm-hmm. this game, just 3 weeks after firing their head coach, Robert Saleh. And remember, C.J. Stroud, and we'll talk more about it as we go, gets sacked 8 times in this game, and that's not the amount of times that he was pressured or the times that he escaped or what have you. And this was a defensive line that had, the Jets, mind you, mm-hmm. Jets defensive line, that had suffered after losing Robert Saleh, obviously a really good defensive mind. Jeff Ulbricht, who was the defensive coordinator, was now an interim head coach and calling the defense. And at this point, you then see mm-hmm. this defense, almost like the Jets defense, almost take this as an opportunity to get going. And that was very disheartening. Very, yeah. very disheartening in watching this game. But I'll start with this. I was surprised on one of the early plays, maybe the first pass play. Cade Stover is used on a slant. And he's got a cornerback covering him. Mm-hmm. And you think this is a place to have a level of advantage. He was not able to kind of, what I like to say, box out, like not use his size to prevent that cornerback from getting to the football. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't bring that in. And I felt like that's the inherent advantage of a big tight end in that space. I would love to see where Cade is on his development, because seeing that at that point was real disheartening to me. I remember.
Yeah, I didn't remember that play until you just brought it up. But we've talked about Cade Stover, you know, this offseason, and he's going to be one of the guys that's going to be in the crosshairs, so to speak, all camp long. That's where he needs to develop. That's where he needs to get better, and they can use him every down.
Yeah, and that's where I'm very encouraged. Yeah. Obviously, we know the Nick Caley, tight ends coach, just the emphasis of the details that they have as a whole. I want to see how that affects him.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz also, who had he had a interesting game. I don't want to say he had a good game, 3 catches, 21 yards, but there was a couple of passes that, or catches that he had, where it was like, oh, this is one of the best looking Dalton Schultz. There was mm-hmm. a clear there's a clear concerted effort to get him, to get Cade, to get Tank the ball early, because you don't have Nico Collins in this game.
Yeah.
You don't have Stephon Diggs in this game, and those guys had to get involved early. And early on, it did feel like they were doing it. Like, it did feel like they were getting the ball to them in some certain space. But this was a running game.
Mm-hmm.
This was a game in which the Texans were running the ball very well. And interestingly enough, once you reach a certain point in the game, which I'll talk about here in a second, you really do see them run the ball even clearer. Now, early on, it wasn't quite that, because we are still dealing with Kenyon Green. I think if you remember at this time of the season, I think we had all gotten to the point where looking at Kenyon Green like, this is not tenable. You can't keep doing this. They threw him out there once more, even though they had tried to get to Jared Patterson, and then Jared Patterson had a concussion.
Because that week we were talking about, are they even going to make a change? And they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
But they had tried to make a change the game before. Jared Patterson comes in for one drive and one drive alone because he gets a concussion in that drive, comes back out. And remember, I mentioned Jerod Johnson got in his face on the sideline, according to the sideline report, and before he went back out there. So, like, you could tell that they wanted him. Like, this, it can't be this. But they still ride with him in this Jets game. And that proves to be a big issue, because he is getting whooped up and down the field on this one. And C.J. Stroud is dealing with major, major pressure in this one early on, because Kenyon Green just is not good enough.
Yeah.
And then to the point where at one point in this game, what actually brings Kenyon Green out of this game is not Kenyon Green being bad. It is that C.J. Stroud gets pressured and falls into him.
Mm-hmm.
He gets injured. He comes out. And here comes Kendrick Green. And when Kendrick Green comes in this game, I'm impressed with the effort. He's all effort.
Yeah.
The actual capabilities that he has, up and down, right? Because early on, just him as the new guy in, you see an instant differentiation in there is some time to throw the football. And more importantly, they start clearing up lanes. And Joe Mixon has already been very good in this. Like, this stretch of the season, Joe Mixon was a monster.
Yeah.
So he's already creating space, you know, great cuts, incredible cuts where there's not lanes. And they started open up lanes. He was gashing the New York Jets.
Yeah, but you did say something that I vaguely remember, and tell me if I'm wrong here. Early on, you said they started opening up lanes, but early on, it wasn't just Kendrick Green in the passing game. It was the entire rush-run blocking. Like, it was mostly just Joe Mixon doing Joe Mixon, because no one else was really having success running the ball. Just him.
Yeah.
Correct?
Well, that's not quite true. I'll talk about it as from the whole point of the game, because and I felt like this was a little bit of an omen of how the night was going to be. There was Mixon three straight really good runs, and then they went to a Dare handoff, his only of the night, which was really weak. And then Kenyon lost immediately up the middle that had CJ stripped.
Okay.
If you remember, there was like a strip sack in the middle where he's just like, there's pressure up the middle and I can't move, and then it's a strip sack. And I was like, this feels like an omen. But on top of that, then later in the game, J.J. Taylor comes in and runs. And his runs look a lot more like Joe Mixon than they do like Dare Ogunbowale.
Okay.
And that's a guy in J.J. Taylor that I think this team likes, but they've never really given a big opportunity to.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like you look at the way that they've added when you draft Woody Marks and then you add Nick Chubb. Obviously, just that's an opportunity that you take advantage of when you have it. But I don't know how much they're looking to invest in J.J. Taylor, but it did make me look at this and go, the running back competition that we're about to see.
Crucial.
It is crucial, and I do wonder if just seeing the ways in which I know Dare has had good opportunities, but when you have someone like J.J. Taylor able to execute in a way that looks a lot cleaner to your lead back, does that then maybe, especially with a different person coming in, right, like a Nick Cayley coming in to add to the decision making, does that change the stance that he might have, or the grasp that he might have on the role that he currently does?
Yeah, I don't think so, because the entire blocking scheme is going to be different.
Fair.
You know, and so is J.J. Taylor going to be able to find the same lanes? I think everything is going to change up front in how they're blocking, because they were doing the gap. Everybody's trying to get to the other level, get to the next guy outside, the furthest guy outside, and it's going to be totally different. So that's one thing that, we've talked about a lot, you know, how they run block. But, you know, as far as Joe Mixon, my point was he was getting yards whether the block was there or the block wasn't
there. He was.
Yeah.
And it went to a different level when the blocks were there.
Yeah.
There did come a point in this game, though, where the Kendrick Green bump that came in with just all energy failed. Mm-hmm. And that's when it just became a massacre for C.J. Stroud. And I actually cited this in my notes as I think this is the game. And particularly there's a play, I believe, in the fourth quarter. It's a 3rd and 7. On the New York Jets 9-yard line, 7 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is the point where the pressure affecting CJ but on non-pressure situations. He's got a pretty clean pocket. No. And then you end up with Mechie, who like has a little bit of an out, but he returns back inside when he sees, hey, my quarterback needs a target. CJ steps into it, and he just sails it on him.
Mm-hmm.
He just completely misses a wide-open Mechie, probably about 15 yards down the field. And I'm like, that is outside of the realm of what we see from C.J. Stroud, the accurate quarterback that we know, the poised quarterback, the pocket-managing quarterback. I was like, okay, this is the
it's
point of the season.
Him.
This is the point of season when it happened, and this is when it all went to you-know-what.
Yeah, no, I think that's more than fair. And as memory serves, you know, we had started to see some of that previously, but you're right. This is the game where you're like, first of all, it's the Jets. It's a defense that hadn't really, you know, thrived that much. And you know, he's having to run around for his life back there.
Now, one of the things I wanted to throw back in here, and thank you for saying that, like something you said in there triggered me again, because I did mention that Kendrick Green, there was a bump when he came in, and then you lost it at a certain point. I think you lost it when Olbrecht, as the defensive play caller, was like, oh, yeah, I remember what this team can't do, which is handle stunts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could see that they started targeting with stunts again, and now you see, again, guys slipping through the cracks, unable to be picked up.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be the big thing that we need to see from this Texans offense, even through camp. I am super intrigued to see, all right, cool, different scheme, different guys in here. Are you guys going to pick up stunts? Because it can't be that again, especially because the Los Angeles Rams, week one, that is a defensive line that is capable of stunting and capable of getting into that backfield and making havoc.
No, and I think I said it earlier, like they have an array of teams, an array of great pass rushers. You know, we talk about the run game, but the pass protection, clearly, you know, what did he get sacked 54 times last year?
Eight of them in this game for 56 yards of loss.
Yeah, the pass protection is really what it's going to be all about. You know, we heard Jake Andrews earlier, we are going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball a lot. And they are. I'm convinced that they are, and they're going to try to. But ultimately, it's like, can you protect C.J. Stroud? Because that's where you're going to make your money.
And then one more thing that I want to throw out here, and this is not a shout-out, but I will throw some shout-outs here in a second. There was a play late in the game. There was a target where Dalton Schultz, I mean, you're trying to get down the field, and he is coming across the field. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, a little bit of scramble drill. C.J.'s on the right side. Dalton's come across to the right side. Throw, and he catches the football. He brings it in, but he only gets 1 foot down. And I'm like, this is where a super highly well-regarded tight end should be able to tap that toe on the sideline, going to the sideline, especially knowing how bad you need it. You're down in this situation. You're trying to go and score to take the lead. Or no, that one is when you're already down, I think 20-13. But or 21-13, which was ultimately the final. I'm like, you need to get across the field. You need to get your foot down. And yes, you won't be able to use that foot to stay upright, but I think you can go horizontal. You can go to the field trying to make sure that you get your foot down. And that's where I'm continuing to look at what we talked about, the tight end position. And is it Cade Stover's job in the best case scenario? Because Dalton Schultz not being able to make that play is deeply frustrating, even though he can make some other plays. When we have you at $14 million, when you're the lead tight end, when you don't have any of these other options, I need you to be able to make that play.
No, look, I expect Dalton Schultz to play better, but you're right. In that particular instance, you know, the gotta have it, as they say, he has to do it. And the other part of it is, yes, to the first part of what you said, I would much rather it be two tight ends with Cade Stover being the big surprise. Cade Stover being the one that can really step up.
Who are your gotta have it's that you feel great about going into the season?
Because
Nico's all, especially in the passing game, is what I'm thinking.
Dalton Schultz.
You still feel great about Dalton as
I'm saying you got to have a better Dalton Schultz. You got to have a better Dalton Schultz than last year.
Sorry, let me reframe it. Like, in a got to have it moment, who are the guys you feel confident in the pass game?
Nico.
Yes.
Nico would be one.
Yes.
Who else?
That's going to be a question. In theory, you go, hey, can Christian Kirk be some of that?
Yeah.
But then you've got a lot of young guys that you're hoping to see if they come in. And that's, again, why I go, the tight end who's supposed to be the, you know, who's supposed to be the safety blanket for any quarterback.
Yeah, you would think he would be the an answer.
You would think.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get back to some of that. Some other things, someone mentioned this. Quinnen Williams was fully wrecked that game. You're right, of course, because he was lined up in that space where he's over one of the guards. So that happened. Petrie in coverage in this game. I've been giving Petrie a lot of love, especially when he gets in the zone. We can look back when he's looking towards the quarterback, when he can break on the football. He got Devontae a few times in the slot, and it was just so apparent that this is not like a cornerback. This is a guy who was a safety linebacker type, not like a cornerback type where, and look, there's a lot of guys who will lose to Devontae Adams. Mm-hmm. That is understood. There was a play, though, where he undercuts a ball, which he did a lot in this game, and mm-hmm. I wonder if that's just an issue just with his technique. Hey, right. Sometimes you maybe don't need to undercut this. He undercuts a ball. It's actually not. That's a Garrett Wilson one. He undercuts it, hands up. I mean, he's covered probably about 90% of the face of Garrett Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly touched, placed pass by Aaron Rodgers, and that's one of the Garrett Wilson just one-handed grab.
Was that the Jordan one?
Yes.
He kind of did the Jordan pose.
That is, and then he runs it in. The other Garrett Wilson one is one that I contend should not have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because how can a shin be down but the knee comes out of bounds?
Yeah,
how does
right.
that work?
That's right.
I want to file that with the NFL still to this point. How does that work?
Yeah.
There was that, and then there was the, if you remember, Tyler Conklin early in the game, first quarter if memory serves, has a catch but fumble that is then picked up by Neville Hewitt and run the other way.
Yeah.
That is ruled as an incomplete pass.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, if that one stays, I don't know that the game changes entirely, but it does apply a different level of pressure to the game.
Yeah.
So that happens. So shout out to Joe Mixon for being incredible in this game. Shout out to a return in this game for Henry Toto. You see the difference.
Tank Dell had a good game.
Tank Dell had a great game mm-hmm. in this one. And 126 yards on 6 receptions. He was just all over the place, and it just made a tear fall because you talk about a guy to have a guy.
Yeah.
And when he had the opportunity, he was a got to have it guy, so he will be missed, especially if he does not return mm-hmm. for this season. This was a real turning point game. This was a low point on Halloween on national TV, Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
On a Thursday,
you really started to wonder.
Yeah, when the wondering became very, very tangible. So
yeah.
That was not a fun one. Oh, and then also shout out to Nico Autry, who had a really good game in this one as well. All right, coming up next in the loop on Sports Radio 610, we do our lunchtime confessions at this time, and we will do that again on this Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I don't quite know which one to go with. I guess I'll go with, you want the sports one or the non-sports one first?
Give me sports.
You want sports?
Yeah, stick to sports.
All right, well, I'm not, but I will to start with here. The NFL, we talk about it all the time. They do everything so well. You always think that, you know, the hog is going to get to slaughtered, but the pig always eats. I mean, they just do everything so well. Except this, it's so frustrating to me. They do their top 100 list, and they used to do, I think, even up to 20 at a time. At least 10, you know, or I think it was 20, to be honest. They are releasing their NFL top 100 players one player a day all the way through September 7th.
Is it one? I thought it was two a day.
It's five a week. It's one a day.
Wow.
They're really, what are you thinking? Nobody, you know, what you want to generate here, and we talk about it. We've done our share of list, you know, segments and all that. You want people, you want it to generate buzz. You want it to get people talking. You want, you know, players and coaches and fans and media to really sort of dissect what you're doing. I have paid almost zero attention to the NFL annual top 100 list because they're doing it different and it sucks. It just flat out sucks. Here we are 1 week from Texans training camp. Some veterans are reporting today in the NFL, and they're at like 75.
Number 73, Christian McCaffrey.
73.
Yeah. Fanfare.
But see, I think
that's so dumb.
Yeah, I think to add on to your confession, how can you debate it? Because you don't know what. Yeah.
One a day.
So it's like, all right, Christian McCaffrey. Like, I have no take on it.
There's no context.
Yeah, because I don't know who's ahead. And, you know, like, it make no sense.
And to the point that the Houston Texans themselves, you may have seen this a few days ago, they released this graphic with, I think it was four players in the top 100 or whatever, because it was from Pro Football Network.
Which PFN. Amen. Like, I have people that have moved. I have people that I know that have moved through PFN. I'm not trying to be a jerk. However, oof.
PFN is getting more run because they've released their entire list.
Yeah,
dude, this is so. They do everything so well. Who decided this?
And it was five players that were in the top 10. Stingley is number 10. Then you had Nico as number 39. Which actually, let me just go ahead and pull this list again. Danielle Hunter at 41, Petrie at 42, and then you have C.J. Gardner-Johnson at 45.
Yeah, the takeaway was C.J. Stroud was not in that top.
Not a top 100 player. See, we want to talk about that.
Exactly. Yeah.
We want to, like, you know, argue one way or the other or whatever.
What would be the way you release this list if you were head of this?
I don't know, but I want to say they used to do 20 a day, and it was all in the span of like a little over a week.
20 a day feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at least, and the entire list is done earlier. The entire list would be done, let's say, in the middle of training camp or early training camp.
How would you do it? Would you do it like 100 to 80?
Well, sure. That's the way most people would do it. 100 to 80, 80 to 60, and then just go on the down. This is so dumb. Like, nobody's going to be talking about it. It's going to be September. It's going to be a couple of days away from the start of the season. When they finish,
I feel like once training camp start, nobody give a damn.
And how about, like, you get to like number five, and there's like they're already have played preseason games and everything else. Hey, four more days, we'll get to number one.
Number 79, Dak Prescott.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool. What does it mean?
But by the time it get to five, I mean, you kind of know who the guys are at that point, man. So you're already done with the list.
Yes, but let's say, like, we're doing Dallas radio, and they just said, hey, Dak Prescott's number 79. I don't know what the hell to talk about.
How's that compared to the other quarterbacks on the list? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We don't know. Like, and again, as you mentioned, when it comes to the debates, which is what the list is here for, I would imagine, It's the conversation of, okay, what is the thought process in doing this? How can we try and reverse engineer that by, okay, well, then Jalen Hurts is over here. What does that mean there? I
you mentioned McCaffrey 73. So, well, who's that? You know, who's ahead of him? We'll let you know in a couple of weeks. What's going on?
Like, we don't even have a running back where we could be like, wait a minute, this running back is 45th, number 45, and like, it's nothing to argue with at this point or talk about.
It's the absolute worst.
I have to be entirely honest here. I try not to be a jerk. There's a lot of ways which I think we should all do that in our daily lives, recognize where you might have a propensity and a proclivity to be a jerk and not be that, not be judgmental, except this is a place where I'm going to admit I'm.
Are you a jerk?
I'm going to be a jerk. I'm going to be judgmental. And it's about the geographically challenged amongst us. The NFL had some of their rookies. Actually, I think it was part of Fanatics, because Fanatics had the rookies in their jerseys and everything in front of a big picture of the contiguous United States.
Okay.
Having guys place a marker where their new home was on the map.
That's just asking for trouble.
And do y'all not know where y'all are at any given time? He had, and I say he, shout out to Houston's own Matthew Golden, was looking at trying to find where Green Bay was. And apparently to him, Green Bay was Detroit, Michigan. He was like, over here, we had dudes placing markers all sorts of places. Like, where is Denver? Montana. Nope, not the right place. Even dudes, I don't remember who it was that got drafted to the Cowboys, was trying to put it. And he was like, I know it's in Texas, just put it in the middle of Texas. And I was like, do y'all really not know the map at all? Like, is that, because, I mean, I am somebody who is very, very far from geographically challenged. I'm like, I'm a map guy. I kind of like looking at maps to have a general idea of where places are within those.
Yeah.
And so I know not everybody is a dork like that.
No.
I get it.
But you got to have a basic.
But that's one of the first things I learned as a kid. Yeah. Like, I had to learn all 50 states and their capitals.
All that
stuff. Was one of the first things I had to learn.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, because there's a lot of y'all, I get it. There's some people that are like, I don't go nowhere unless I would put it in the GPS because I can't. And I'm like, I get a little judgy about that, but I keep it to myself. I get it. And not everybody's. I'm like, you looking at that Google Maps all the time and you ain't figured out where the layout is?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I gotta confess, man, I think I'm a sicko because
I was.
So I was watching, I actually finished a show called The Pit, which is on HBO Max. And I mentioned it before, it's kind of a hospital emergency room type of show where they show a lot of raw stuff. You see people private parts and all that stuff.
It's like a what?
No, it's like a real raw thinking show.
People are eating right now.
That's right.
No, is this why you're a sicko? You watching people's private parts?
No, that ain't even a part. So they had a part where a lady was giving birth.
Okay.
And they showed everything.
Oh, wow.
they showed everything. And my wife was sitting there. She couldn't even look. She was just like, oh, God. Oh, my. I was just sitting there watching, eating popcorn, man. Yeah. It was no big deal to me. And I never saw that before. I never seen anyone get birth. I'm like, man, I think I might be a sicko. If we was to have a kid, I would probably watch.
I did. I watched the C-section. From right over the doctor's shoulder. I remember telling my wife.
He breathing on the doctor's neck.
I was. My wife will still tell this story because I just leaned over to her after I was watching her get all sliced up real good. I said, boy, this is really going to hurt in the morning. She goes, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I think the
part. Why are you the way that you are?
Yeah. I think the part that would get me, that kind of made me squirm a little bit is the cutting.
Yeah.
Where they just get like a knife and just kind of emergency surgery where you just got to cut and you kind of see everything spliced. So I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that
but
was.
I was just watching it like normal. I didn't squirm. Mm-hmm. I didn't
Was it a natural birth or a C-section?
It was a natural birth.
Oh, yeah. That's nice and, well, I won't say it. But
I just...
It's stuff everywhere.
It didn't bother me.
There is stuff everywhere.
Again, apologies to anybody eating their lunch right now.
Hey, what big decisions could you have made when you were 16 years old?
Ooh.
Big decisions. Could you have, tangibly...
Made myself?
Realistically...
License?
Smartly made when you were 16 years old.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think I like to think I could have made some good decisions, but I also think I was played with the level of hubris that I don't feel good about anymore, right? Like, I know some things. No, you don't, you 16-year-old idiot.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of my point. So the question is coming up on, you may have seen this on social media, if you would want this in the United States. Great Britain is lowering the voting age to 16. Mm. You can now vote, well, not now, the next election, presumably, if there's no pushback, on all elections, including, you know, obviously the very, very top, at 16 years old.
You vote for Queen? That's nice.
Not Queen. That Queen is bloodline. What are they doing? This is dumb. 16 years old, you're starting to vote for elections?
The first thing I thought about was whatever my parents rolling with.
I think a lot of that.
They going to be, boy, you better.
Yeah,
you
I better think a vote. Lot of that.
Don't you be voting, not in my house.
Well, that's not good either, though.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So, what, can the kid really make their own decision?
Could you have voted for, president and everything else, senators and all these other, and also you're voting for legislation and stuff, you know, or whatever
yeah,
it may be.
I would, yeah.
At 16?
At that age, I wouldn't take it serious, man. I would probably write in the ballot, I'm voting for Stone Cold Steve Austin. I would have been ignorant with it.
Yeah. No. What are we doing? And the answer is no. All these people ask, would you want that in the United States? No. No, I don't want a 16-year-old.
I'm voting for myself as president. I would have been stupid.
16-year-old voting? You crazy?
So you mean to tell me?
Yeah.
There are some dumb decisions that are being made in the land of politics?
That's a separate topic. That's a separate. Hey, but a 16-year-old ain't going to make it better.
I was just asking if that's what you were telling me. I'm just trying to understand.
Make it better. 18's pushing it, but I'm not going
to
go there.
Oh, wow.
Time to wrap this segment up. Yeah.
Hot takes over here. Somebody said, no wonder why Lopez's wife threw away his pillow. Women have long memories. My thing about it is she should have threw away the pillow then.
Yeah.
She waited another how many years? Anyways, I appreciate you. Rock with us on our lunchtime confessions. Just mind you, and this is something that I did notice on the Pro Football Network top 100 as we were talking about those earlier. Mm-hmm. You did notice another notable omission in there. You said CJ? Will Anderson Jr. not in the top 100?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, no, I said CJ. I didn't mention Will Anderson.
That one's tough. And then a little bit of, I guess, breaking news if you want to view it as such. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson Sr. is believed to have recovered from his recent right shoulder setback.
Well, we'll see.
Right in time for camp.
Good to
quarterback battle.
None to see here.
I still think that Daniel Jones wins that, to be completely honest.
Yeah. Or maybe bring in someone else. Kirk Cousins.
Are you for real? Would be wild if they did that.
Kirk Cousins would do it.
Having a mid-off.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is a Thursday, so let's do a little buy or sell. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are trying to sell you? Let us know if you agree. We'll do it next. For the second time today, as we're about to come back from break, I hear Lopez audibly make noises about what's happening at the British Open. So would you like to give an update?
Rory, man, just stuck one after hitting one into the big rough, the thick, thick rough. My guy, he's on my list. He's at the top of my list. He's one of them.
And where is he? He's tied for sixth at this point.
He's tied for second.
Or tied for second, right?
Yeah.
Well, no.
However you want to put it.
No, he's tied for sixth because there's
He's one shot behind the leader.
There's five guys who are tied for the lead. And so that's how that works, Lopez.
Tied for second or tied for sixth, however you want to look at it.
First round of the British Open happening as we speak. All right, let's get into a little buy or sell. As we often do on a Thursday, are you buying what these various folks in sports are selling you? 713-572-4610. And we begin with...
You buying my Rory pick?
I don't know how I'm supposed to know.
No. We'll start with this. So this week, earlier, Kevin Durant had reportedly a thumb surgery. And according to that report, the Rockets, quote, did not give it a second thought.
Yes. Buy. Bye. Non-shooting hand. And I think that this is a big-time move for Kevin Durant that also is not one that is just a short-term one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy that he's done this long enough. He knows his body pretty well. And you're making a deal. You're going to have a level of safety with making sure you go through the medicals process. I think the bigger thing is Rafael Stone made it clear that if they were going to make a move like this, it was going to be a big-time move. This is a big-time move, and I don't think you let something, a minor injury, slow you down in that way.
Yeah, I'm buying it. And plus, I feel like KD is a baller too, man. I think a thumb on a non-shooting hand, like Reggie said, I think it's nothing to see here.
Yeah, I'm buying this one as well. But anytime you have surgery, so you have to at least ask the question because,
surgery,
you know, it doesn't matter where it is, you know, can end up being something else. All right. Are you buying or are you selling this? We're all familiar with the name Connor Stallions.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. He's the guy that what was he originally? Just like an assistant to the assistant at the University of Michigan.
He was a volunteer.
He was like a volunteer to start with, ended up doing deep research, deep film study, scouting, ending up on sidelines of opposing teams or across from opposing teams, getting credentials that he didn't deserve because he was figuring out the signals, remember? And ultimately, Jim Harbaugh was suspended too, right?
Yes.
Suspended. At one point. So he said this week, it was really...
They acted like he was dying.
Yeah.
Remember when he was out here putting up the fours?
Oh, yeah.
Got to put the fours up for Jim as if he died.
And the guy that
he was at home watching the game.
And the guy that was filling in for crying and that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Get your sorry ass out of here.
Well, man. Connor Stallions has spoken. And he said, it was really not that big a deal. This is what he said. There were 7 games in my time at Michigan where I knew almost every signal the whole game. And then he listed the games. We lost 3 of those games because we didn't tackle well, and Georgia was historically good. We won the other 4 games because we dominated the line of scrimmage and tackled well, blocking, ball security, tackling, run fits, and coverage tools, not the fact that he knew all their signs.
I think that there is some level of truth within what he says, but I'm selling it on like the principle, the spirit of what he's trying to get at, which is, hey, man, this team didn't really matter. Like, we just were really good. No, I mean, yes, but also... You wouldn't cheat if you didn't think it was some level of useful. You wouldn't go out of your way to get these things if they were not going to be of use in the end goal of trying to win football games, right? I hate to bring it back here, and you can hate me if you need to.
I'm going
to
say the same thing,
right? Like this is the thing with the Astros that people hold up. Like, yes, the Astros were a phenomenal baseball team, and I think you have a right to be, you know, have a gripe with the people that are like, nah, they're just cheaters. No, they were a damn and remain really a damn good baseball team. But the cheating was there. You have to own that.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Stallions, you have to own that part, dog.
Yeah.
You just do. You can't wipe that away with, well, we were good. You were, but also you cheated.
Yeah, I agree with Reggie, man. They clearly had an advantage. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, you could have. Yeah, I think what he was saying could be true. He had dominated the line of scrimmage and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That could be true, but you had an advantage.
Yeah.
So that plays some type of part into the success, too.
I am selling it as well, and I was going to do the same thing you did, Reggie. If it didn't,
sorry, Astros fans, love you.
If it didn't, same thing here. If it didn't help you, why'd you do it?
You still got to hit the ball.
You didn't think it helped you. Why'd you do it? Et cetera. All right,
and you do have to hit the ball. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. And those dudes can hit Matt. They can hit the hell out of the ball.
That caused a lot of arguments on this station.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
Oh, my gosh. All right, speaking of the Astros, are you buying or selling this? Joe Espada spoke about one Yordan Alvarez. You know what's coming. You don't even know what he said. This is what he said. The doctor could potentially clear him to start swinging the bat. As long as Yordan feels good, we're going to try to expedite his return. Absolutely no pain in his hand.
I answered the question already.
I don't even know what to do anymore.
Yeah,
sell. I'm going to sell this. Yeah, sure, he could do that. And we could end up in a situation where he does not play for the rest of the season. There might be no pain in his hand. Now, we've been here not just in the past with the Astros. This season with Yordan Alvarez in particular, where it's like, oh, no, he feels good enough to start swinging, and then we end up finding up there's a fracture in there. And it's not really fair to him because what can you do but work off of the situation that's in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
Except the situation that's in front of you has constantly been, just quicksand
yep.
and all sorts of booby traps. And so I get it. You are in the place as the manager where you have to go through this particular ruse. I feel like I've gotten to a point where maybe I've wised up enough to not have to go through it too. I'm selling.
I am selling too. I just appreciated Figgy. As soon as I said Joe Espada, he goes, sell. He knew what was coming. Sell.
I bet Joe Espada though, like I bet he got it. Like this is the Slim Charles school of thought, which is if it's a lie, then we fight on that lie, but we got to fight because for him, he's like, please give me that bet, man.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Unless he said he was out for the season, then I would buy that. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd lie about something like that.
Yeah. All right, so Giannis has had an eventful offseason, but Bucks president Peter Fagan said this, we are at a good place. We feel great about him.
I buy that.
You do?
I think that they would feel great about him because we were in a place where the speculation was that Giannis might ask out, and I think the reporting was that he would be interested in hearing like what the situation would be, which is as far as Giannis has gotten to – yeah, I'm out of here. Remember, the time that they got Jrue Holiday before that, he was like, I am waiting to see what the Bucks do in order to strengthen this team before I make any like type of decisions. That is as far as Giannis typically goes to saying, hey, do something or I'm out of here. So we were in what felt like a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
They added Miles Turner. They added a guard that, of course, escapes me right now. But it seems like they're doing some of the things that at least placate, for lack of a better word, Giannis. And that's goal number one. Are they going to be able to compete in a high level? Maybe, maybe not. But if your superstar in Milwaukee, of all places, that has not been able to just like come by them, if you did not draft them and develop them, they got to keep that guy at home.
I'm going to sell it because it's hard to feel like you're in a great place to me. I feel like, especially with all the little side conversations Giannis has been having, and I think I'm gonna stay here and all of that type of stuff.
Yeah,
I feel like you can't feel you in a great place. Like not a great. You could be in the okay place.
Yeah,
but as far as great, like nothing to see here. I it's hard to buy that.
I'm gonna sell it too, Figgy. And the only reason is there's just too much smoke, and the fact that he's coming out and it's legitimate. You know, he really feels that way. But like, oh no, we're fine. We're fine. You know, isn't that what the guy at the Coldplay concert said?
Yeah.
You just wanted to bring that up because that had no relevance.
Yeah. We're fine. We're fine. All right. You buying or selling this? We mentioned Nick Saban yesterday as it pertained to, I think, Lane Kiffin said he thought this. And then it was Kirby Smart said he didn't think this. Well, Greg McElroy said a person in the know told him that Nick Saban is getting back into coaching.
I'm going to sell this. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not saying Greg McElroy is like not hearing those things. I just the doneness that Nick Saban seems to have with what this current situation is, as it continues to get more and more hairy, the ground underneath the entirety of this work continues to shift.
Yeah.
I don't know that that is a place where he can find the joy of what he likes to do. I still lean so heavily on Nick when he's retiring, Nick Saban saying, or when he's stepping away from Alabama, I guess, him saying, I could not in good conscience tell these guys that I was going to be here. And if I can't do that, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And I don't see what would have changed in that. Even if he's like, yo, I got the itch to do this again. Mm-hmm. He is such a dude of principle and moral in a way that is really tough to say in college football because it's a lot of skeezy. And I don't even say that as like a judgment. It's kind of the way that the thing operates.
Yeah.
He seems to really operate in a way where I'm going to stand on these morals. And that one is one that I imagine would stick with him so heavy. And I don't know that how he shakes it.
I think I'm going to buy this one. Mm-hmm. I think he is probably looking at Bill Belichick. I think he's going to see how that play out a little bit. If Bill Belichick get that program kind of humming a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he would consider getting the.
Maybe he'll go to Duke. Have Carolina Duke.
Oh, that would be fun. We'd be sitting here. We'd be sitting here watching Carolina versus Duke football edition. But I think he probably.
Why don't you like Manny Diaz? You trying to get Manny Diaz out of here?
Does anybody like Manny Diaz?
Fair question.
Does anybody like him?
Yeah, I think he's keeping an eye on Bill Belichick to see how that work out. If it don't work out good, then I think he'd probably stay where he at. But if it works out pretty good, I could see him jumping somewhere else.
I'm going to put it this way, and I'm going to be a little bit of wishy-washy here.
Fair enough.
I am going to back up, second what Figgy just said, but when Greg McElroy said, I know, I don't know if anybody knows. So I'm going to sell that part of it. All right, you buying or selling this? And this one just kind of made me chuckle. Trevor Lawrence was asked at, I guess they're reporting or whatever, about his situation. He says, I feel like I'm just getting into my prime. just made me laugh. Now you're getting into your prime.
I'll buy that. Like that's a reasonable thing to feel, especially if you're a quarterback looking mm-hmm. at the quarterbacks that have been really mm-hmm. good in this league of late that have played really strong. He's 25 years old. Right,
like you forget that, huh?
I think he can easily get to a place where he's like, okay, this is where I'm starting to hit my stride. And then you pair that with, this is probably the best coach office coordinator situation that he has had. Mm-hmm. He's probably looking at these schemes that they're throwing out there like, huh?
Yeah.
That's how these supposed to work, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I like this. So I can understand the confidence, but of course, this is where hope springs eternal for everybody
exactly.
right now before we get to training camp, before we get to the preseason, before we get to the season.
I'm going to kind of buy it, too, because I kind of look around at the other quarterbacks that's kind of going right now. The Baker Mayfields. Mm-hmm. We'll see on Sam Darnold, but he was going last season. Geno Smith was going the last couple years, I want to say. It wouldn't surprise me if he kind of kick a gear up a little bit. So I think I'm going to kind of buy this one.
I'm going to buy it, too. I think, you know, you mentioned his age, and I hadn't thought of it until I looked it up, and especially with the offense. But I'll buy that one, too. All right, one more here for you guys. Scottie Scheffler, number one ranked player in the world, tied for second or sixth, depending on how you look at it, right now in the British Open.
No, it does not depend how you look at it. If you want to look at it right or wrong, it depends.
Scottie Scheffler said, winning is cool, but it is not a fulfilling life.
Dude, this is such a buy. I was very intrigued by the kind of moral clarity. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, but the introspection that it took for him to come to that. And you could tell, like, this is not something that he just thought about. This is something that he sat with. Like, I appreciate that also because I have a somewhat similar perspective on the larger scale of American sports. I really dislike how much we are all focused in on the end goal, which, of course, the end goal is always a good thing. It's important. It's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
But there's not enough in my mind focused on, like, hey, but also the achievements that you have along the way, because that's how it gets real unfulfilling at times. I think we've seen guys that, you know, play for a Super Bowl. They get to the Super Bowl. They're like, yeah, we did it. And then immediately it's like, well, where's the feeling that I wanted? And some people, I guess, turn that into, okay, but now I'm gonna go get another one. Like, and you're constantly chasing. And I appreciate for him that he's like, look, man, I do all this work. Years and years, we go through 4 days, we raise the trophy, and then it's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I respect that. I understand that. And I'm at least trying to be a little bit better about it, taking the lessons of that, which is appreciate as you're going towards the end goal. Appreciate that as well, because the end goal in and of itself, I don't think is everything that you want.
Yeah, I kind of buying this. You know how many wins he got? Do we have a lot of wins right now?
Scheffler?
Yeah.
He's the number one ranked player in the world.
Yeah. So I think it's easy to say when you win a lot. That was kind of my point.
Okay.
Yeah. I think right now, if he haven't won anything or maybe won one, I don't think he would say this.
He's won three major championships.
Yeah, so I think right now, he know what it feel like. And he's number, like you said, Lohi, he's number one. So I think now he kind of is cool to say it.
I'll take it a step further, or at least a different look at it. I also buy it. And I also feel that because he has such a fulfilling life and focuses on being the husband and the dad that he is, plays into him being the number one player in the world. Because he can separate the two, and he does both, and I don't think I've ever mentioned this on the air. My daughter actually was sorority sisters with his wife. At A&M. I was kind of familiar with his work even before he became the number one player in the world.
Fancy.
And the family and all that. She went to the wedding and all that stuff.
Was there an open bar? Any more details you want to give us?
I guess there was.
It was fantastic.
But he, like, fulfilling life, the family and the wife, is legit. And I think it plays into him being the number one.
Touche.
I do think, though, like, that I would hope and I imagine that helps cut some of the nerve off all of this, man. Like, these guys can be so high strung and rightfully so. Like, there's so much at stake. The
and
money.
And singularly focused, and he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny because that can kind of counter some of the narratives that we get sometimes in this sports space. All right, another edition of Buy Yourself. Appreciate you putting that together, Lopez. Mm-hmm. Here in the loop. On Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we were talking earlier about the news of a Houston Texan that's gone on to glory, Brian Brahman. Let's do a little bit of a special remembrance, because Lopez, you have a decent amount of stories that you want to relay. Mm-hmm. Let's do all that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.